Welcome to Chemistry of the Mind, unlocking the brain's secrets. I'm particularly fascinated by today's topic because, well, who isn't intrigued by the prospect of understanding the aging process, especially in the brain? It's such a complex interplay of factors.
Exactly. And telomeres, these protective caps on our chromosomes, they're like a key piece of that puzzle, right? I mean, they're not the whole story, but they offer a unique window into how our cells age and, well, what that means for our cognitive health.
It's almost like a biological clock, isn't it? Ticking away, influencing everything from memory to the risk of neurodegenerative diseases. It's really quite remarkable.
Yeah, it is. And the research, it's just exploding with new discoveries. Think about it. We're talking about potentially unlocking the secrets to healthier brain aging, maybe even saving off diseases like Alzheimer's. So the question is, can we actually influence this clock? Can we slow it down or even rewind it a bit?
Well, that's what we're here to explore. We're diving into the fascinating world of telomeres. From their discovery, which by the way involves some brilliant minds like Muller and McClintock, to their intricate structure and function, and how they might just hold the key to understanding and maybe even combating age-related cognitive decline.
It's a complex topic, for sure. We'll unpack the science behind telomere shortening, the end replication problem, and, well, what happens when these protective caps start to fray. We'll also delve into the role of telomerase. It's an enzyme that can actually lengthen telomeres. Imagine the possibilities.
And we'll discuss the latest research on telomere length, how it's measured, what factors influence it, and, importantly, how it relates to cognitive function, memory, and, as you mentioned, the development of neurodegenerative diseases.
Plus, we'll explore some of the more controversial aspects, like, is telomere length really a good biomarker for aging? What about the impact of stress, diet, and lifestyle? And, well, are there any potential interventions on the horizon that could help us protect our telomeres and, in turn, our brains?
So we've laid out this pretty daunting landscape of neurodegenerative diseases, right? It's almost overwhelming how many there are, each with its own unique fingerprint, but also these shared threads.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, from Alzheimer's, the most prevalent, to rare conditions like Huntington's or Batten disease, the sheer scope of the problem is staggering. And the impact, well, it's devastating not just for individuals, but for families and society as a whole.
And what strikes me going through the research is this frustrating paradox. We're pouring billions into research, yet effective treatments remain elusive, especially for conditions like Alzheimer's. That 99.5% failure rate in clinical trials, it's sobering, to say the least.
It is, and it points to the immense complexity of these diseases. We touched on the end replication problem with telomeres earlier, and that's just one piece of the puzzle. Here we're dealing with protein misfolding, genetic mutations, oxidative stress, inflammation. It's a tangled web of interconnected factors.
Right, and it makes you wonder, are we even looking in the right places?
I mean, the amyloid plaques in Alzheimer's, for instance, they've been a primary focus for so long, yet targeting them hasn't yielded the breakthroughs we hoped for.
It's almost like we're missing a crucial piece of the puzzle.
Perhaps. Or maybe it's a case of needing a multi-pronged approach. Think about the discussion around Parkinson's. We're learning more about the role of alpha-synuclein, but also about potential connections to the gut microbiome. It's widening the scope of investigation, which could be key.
It's fascinating, isn't it? How seemingly disparate areas like gut health and brain function can be so intertwined. And it highlights the importance of looking beyond the traditional boundaries of neuroscience. Maybe the answers lie in these unexpected connections.
Maybe. And it also underscores the need for more accurate and earlier diagnoses.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the misdiagnosis rate in Alzheimer's, and even with Parkinson's, relying on something like the sense of smell, it's not foolproof. We need better tools to identify these diseases in their earliest stages before the damage becomes irreversible.
So we were talking about the challenges in Alzheimer's research, right? The frustratingly high failure rate in clinical trials, the complexity of the disease itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a tough nut to crack. And it makes you question, are we focusing on the right things? The amyloid plaques, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Have we been barking up the wrong tree for decades?
It's possible. This new research on telomere length and cognitive decline adds another layer to the puzzle, doesn't it?
It really does. This idea that telomere shortening, a marker of biological aging, could be directly linked to cognitive decline, particularly in individuals with amyloid pathology.
Mm-hmm.
It's a significant finding.
Especially in those with MCI, mild cognitive impairment, that's the stage where intervention could potentially make the biggest difference, right? Before the slide into full-blown dementia.
Exactly. The study showed a much stronger correlation between shorter telomeres and faster cognitive decline in people with MCI who also had amyloid plaques, almost like a double whammy effect.
And the fact that they used amyloid PET and CSF biomarkers to confirm amyloid pathology makes the findings more robust. Yeah. It addresses some of the limitations of previous studies that relied solely on clinical diagnosis.
Right. It's a more precise way of identifying who's truly on the Alzheimer's spectrum, even before dementia sets in. It allows for a cleaner look at the relationship between telomeres and cognitive decline.
But it's not a simple linear relationship, is it? I mean, the study didn't find a dose-response effect. It wasn't like the shorter the telomeres, the worse the decline. It seems to be more about a threshold effect. Once telomeres get critically short, that's when the real trouble starts.
That's what they speculate. They suggest that it might be because critically short telomeres trigger cellular senescence, that state of, well, irreversible cell cycle arrest. It's like a tipping point.
And interestingly, the link between telomere length and cognitive decline was strongest in the MCI group, not in the cognitively unimpaired or those with Alzheimer's dementia.
Why do you think that is?
Well, they hypothesize that it's related to the level of neuroinflammation. In MCI, you have this moderate inflammatory response happening in the brain. Combine that with the cellular stress from critically short telomeres, and you might have a perfect storm for accelerated cognitive decline.
So it's not just the telomeres themselves, but the interplay between telomere shortening and other pathological processes like neuroinflammation that drives the decline.
Precisely. It's a complex web, and this study highlights the importance of looking at these interactions, these synergistic effects.
So this study on telomere length and Alzheimer's, it really dives into some complex territory, doesn't it?
It does. It's like trying to untangle a really knotted up ball of yarn. So many factors, so many variables.
Yeah. I mean, the idea that critically short telomeres could be linked to faster cognitive decline, especially in people with MCI, that's pretty significant, right?
Definitely. Especially in those MCI folks who also have amyloid plaques. It's like a 1-2 punch to the brain. But it's not a simple cause and effect relationship, is it?
No, not at all. More like a complex interplay of factors. The telomere shortening seems to act synergistically with other processes like neuroinflammation to accelerate the decline.
Right. And the study highlights that it's not just about how short the telomeres are, but whether they've crossed a certain threshold. Once they get critically short, that's when the real trouble seems to start.
Which makes me think about the potential for intervention, yeah? If we could find ways to prevent telomeres from reaching that critical point, or even lengthen them.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? The study didn't really delve into interventions, but it certainly opens up avenues for future research in that direction.
Absolutely. And the fact that they use such robust methods, amyloid PET and CSF biomarkers, to confirm amyloid pathology, that strengthens their findings, don't you think?
For sure. It gives us a much clearer picture of what's happening in the brain, even before dementia fully sets in. It helps isolate the role of telomeres in the decline.
Mm-hmm.
But as with any study, there are limitations. The sample size was relatively small, the follow-up period was short, and...
Yay. Mm. And they measured telomere length in leukocytes, not directly in brain tissue, although they did cite previous research suggesting a correlation between the two.
Right. So it's not a perfect measure, but it's a reasonable proxy given the difficulty of accessing brain tissue.
Exactly. It's a necessary compromise. And despite these limitations, the study offers some valuable insights.
Mm-hmm.
It points to a new direction in Alzheimer's research, moving beyond the traditional focus on amyloid plaques and tau tangles.
It's a reminder that aging is a complex process, and cognitive decline is likely driven by multiple interacting factors, not just one single culprit.
Precisely. And understanding these interactions, these synergistic effects, is key to developing effective interventions. It's about seeing the whole picture, the whole intricate web of factors at play.